You know who joins us every single Wednesday at this time? Quick Six!
Mike Quick is sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. Let's talk to the aforementioned star wide receiver of the 1980s Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Mike Quick. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody?
Good, buddy.
Super.
Look, it'd be
a
better...
Ricky, yeah. they just don't make them the way they used to, buddy.
Apparently not. Jeez. What is this world coming
there
to?
There you go. All right, Mike, we want to do a lot of football with you, but let's actually start on the Joel thing because, you know, I mentioned earlier, and you know I say this with all affection for you, man, because you know, I mean, I saw it, we saw it. You were one of the most spectacular players in pro football in the mid-1980s. And then as that decade went on, you couldn't do as much. The knees were an issue. So for Joel, I'm just curious, what exactly was it? Was it a debilitating situation for you where it just got worse and worse and it's harder to answer the bell deeper into your career? Is that a
yeah.
fair summation?
Yeah, you're just not the same guy. And I had really bad tendonitis in my knees and ended up having surgery on both knees for patellar tendonitis. It got to the point where I actually had to have surgery. And I don't know his case, but I know that once you start to have issues in those areas, you don't have the same legs, you don't have the same wheels, you can't spring as high, you can't go as quickly. I realized it was time for me to hang it up when guys would line up press coverage on me, and they could get their hands on me and slow me up and take me off my route. When that started to happen, I was like, okay, I need to start thinking about something else.
Mike, so you actually perceived it while it was happening? Because I think that might be kind of rare, too. Like, I know that it blindsided me more than I'm willing to admit.
But Mike, I'll say this. Take guys like Grant Hill and Anthony Hardaway, who played an extra, I don't know, close to 10 years after they were what they were at their peak, they had to know they couldn't answer the bell the way they used to. I mean, Grant Hill and Anthony Hardaway were two of the great, most explosive young players I ever saw. And about 5 years into both of their career, they were just like another guy out there for a long while.
Yeah, and for at the end of your career, I think most of us will try and you know that you're done, but you have to try to steal an extra year here or there. That's just what athletes do. So I knew. I remember the player, Cedric Brown. A lot of people don't remember Cedric Brown. He was a little cornerback, quick and really strong. But when Cedric started to get his hands on me at the line of scrimmage, and I couldn't shake him, I was like, okay, it's about that time.
Yeah, time to hang the cleats up. This game last week, it was another awesome game for AJ. How and who took Devontae away?
I don't think anyone took him away. I don't think he got the targets that he should have gotten. There were a couple of times when I thought the ball should have gone to him that it just, for whatever reason, didn't go to him. I think Devontae is going to have his games where he stacks up big numbers, and I hope it even starts this weekend against Cincinnati. But that's just kind of the way it flows sometimes.
It seems
we know that AJ is going to be the primary target. We all know that.
Mm-hmm. That is sort of the way it works. And I saw this stat yesterday. We're 14-1 under Nick when we run more than pass. We're 14-1. When we run more than pass. Why mess with that? This week we got a Bengals team coming up that can't stop the run, or at least they haven't previously. I think our path is clear, isn't it?
But to be fair, some of that circumstantial, you have a lead and then you run more because you have it.
Very true.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Game script.
Yeah, but I think that this team committed to running the football on Sunday, and I think it's the perfect formula given the makeup of this roster. When you look at the construction of this roster, what's the strength? It's the offensive line. That is the strongest unit on this football team, the offensive line. So when you let those guys do what they do best, which is mowing people down, that's the way. And then you have Saquon Barkley. Come on. I mean, it's as clear as the nose on your face. That's the strength of this team. I see how Baltimore they are a running football team. I think this team can be the same, but when you have the elements that they have in the passing game and the ability to do what they do in the passing game, you can never ignore the pass. I agree with you, Richie, that running the football, I think, is the best formula, but you have to feed these other guys because of what they can bring.
Mike, can you put into context the greatness of Saquon Barkley? I mean, you've seen it now for six games, broadcasting his games. Can you just put into context how incredible he is?
He's just very special. It's amazing to me what he can do when he gets past the line of scrimmage. He's outrunning guys that are 30 pounds lighter than he is. He's just a big, strong young man that can do it all, run people over.
Yeah.
The way he ran, he trucked that defensive back on
so
the right
awesome.
Sideline. Like he has it all.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's so fun to watch him, and he's such a great young player. Howie Roseman hit it out the park with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, sure did. I'm so glad, and it feels good on. We still ran one play in the Giants' half of the field in the first quarter with Saquon, with running the ball. So the slow starts persist. Why, Mike?
So many different reasons, and there is no one reason. Well, if you want to put one word out there, it's execution. It's being able to make sure that you move people when it's time for you to move people, it's really an execution issue. And there are too many penalties early in the games when guys are trying to get settled in. And that whole filling out process, it takes a little too long for Kellen Moore, the caller of the plays, and for these guys on the field executing the calls that are made.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I do believe that in each game there's a filling out process, but the one that the Eagles are using just takes a little bit too long. But you know, they've been able to make up for it, so I'm not complaining.
It just seems like, Mike, there are so many things after a game that you go back and you look at the fact that, like I said, we weren't on their half the field in the first quarter. On third down, the stats, the stat that every team I was ever on, every coach harped on, was your third down conversions. That's like at the top of the list. We got to get our offense converting on third down. And we were 1-for-13 in the game against the Giants. That doesn't win you many games. So I know that we're winning games, but then I see those major stats that I know matter, and we're not stacking up. What is the problem in third down situations?
That is one thing that's changing in the National Football League. Teams are not just going by three downs. They're going four downs now.
Mm.
Not just the Eagles, but throughout the National Football League, you've seen so many teams now. And I have to think that the analytics has something to do with it, but you see so many teams now going for it on fourth down. This team is, their average is way higher on fourth down than it is on third down.
Hmm.
And if you look around the league, you'll see more and more now that teams are, that's just a part of what teams are evolving into now.
Fourth down, they're
going to go for it on fourth down.
So it's not that the third down conversion is that bad. They're just combining third and fourth down to get the job done.
Well,
and
sometimes
we were three for three on our fourth down conversion.
They run it on third and three quite a bit because they know that can turn into fourth and
exactly.
one. They do
make it more manageable for fourth.
That's true. That's a good point. Mike, let's get to the defense. I'm wondering if they have truly turned a corner or if it's more a byproduct of they just faced some of the lousiest teams in pro football and offense. What do you think?
A bit of both. I love the fact that they're starting to really attack teams. And I think that's a product of Vic Fangio starting to understand the strengths of these guys and what they can do, when they can do it. I still go back to training camp and how you don't really get to know these players until they're in live situations. And as he's starting to see more and more what they can do and how this defense that he's presenting to them, how they can start to understand it, understand where the strengths, weaknesses are, where their help is in different situations. I think Fangio can do more things with these guys. I love the way the front four was just humming. They're getting after people, and it allowed for so many things on the back end to happen and happen positively. When you see the quarterback having to hitch and can't throw the ball right away, you know that the secondary, they're tight in coverage, and he's going to have to hold on to the football. And that allows these guys, the front four, and sometimes he's mixing in a fifth guy now, it allows them to get to the quarterback and be disruptive.
Mike, great stuff, my man. Have a great call. You and Merrill, of course, on the call on Sunday. Let's hope it's not a tie like the last time the Eagles faced Joe Burrow.
Shut your mouth.
Wasn't that the game that started us running the football, though?
No,
that was when I'm 4-11-1. That was the game where Doug punted at the end to take the tie.
Which was the right decision.
I agree, but everyone was furious about it.
And here's the crazy thing. It improved their record to 0-2-1. Isn't that right? Think about that.
Improved.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, what am I saying? Mike, stay well, man. We just talked to Ross Tucker recently. Thank you, Mike. Stay well, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, what a disaster that situation was. Do you remember, James?
Isn't there a punt involved in there?
Yeah, right before the end.
That's what I just said. Doug punted at the end and
right
said
ball.
It, yeah.
Yep. James, do you remember prior to that game, when I told the audience,
oh yeah,
Joe Burrow is better than Carson Wentz.
I think we had a poll. It was like
we did.
Yeah, it was outrageous.
It was so skewed to Carson.
It was insane.
I'm like, guys, you people need to open your eyes.
Yeah, I was with you by that point because I remember being like, are people crazy? Joe Burrow is way better than this guy.
Anyway,
if Joe Burrow had actually had a competent offensive line the past couple of years, he would. I think he'd have a couple of championships.
I love him. I really do.
I love his attitude.
I do too.
And it's nasty sometimes, but I kind of like it.
And I will never forget watching that guy in the national championship game. I think it was 7 touchdowns in the first 3 quarters. Now, granted, he had Justin Jefferson, he had Jamar Chase.
He had
it was
some
ridiculous,
weapons.
But like it was unbelievable.